Blog Talk Radio.
I was fucking all them hoes in the street, you left and I'm feeling lonely. I've been sipping and I'm trying to get sober, I need about 3 Coronas. Girl, I can't even focus, now I'm holding on to this bottle, still thinking about what I did. I know it ain't true, I gotta sip slow, I know this ain't how I live, but I still want to, baby girl, let's shift. Can we talk for a minute, you don't even have to stay long. And I miss when you used to let me hit it from the back. You're telling me go deep and I stay long. And
that's why I'm sipping,
trippin',
trying to get you out my mind.
Out my mind,
out my mind. I do stupid shit, you run and leave. I swear we do this all the time.
All the time,
all the time. This time there's a difference, girl, cause you ain't coming back like you used to do. And I've been sipping more than I used to do. I'm telling you, girl, that I miss you, on everything, is no lie. I've been sipping all on this liquor, trying to tell myself it's alright.
Just the other day, I had to ask myself, how could I ever do you like that?
Ooh.
I fuck up once and then a few more times, but you will still come right back. I know it seems like I'm drowning in my own sorrow, and maybe I'm a fool for that. You know I need you back. It's a love-hate thing, what we got. You be like no strings attached. It seems like every time we fight, same shit. I'm young and dumb, selfish. I keep a lot of hoes in my phone. I'll be damned if you wrong, what I need is you. Dying on the inside, but I'm steady trying to keep it cool. And if I don't get you back tonight, I'ma need a couple bottles of the Absolute. Cause right now I'm
sipping, trippin', trying to get you out my mind. I do stupid shit, you run and leave. And I swear we do this all the time.
All the time,
all the time. But this time there's a difference, girl, cause you ain't coming back like you used to. And I've been sipping more than I used to do. I'm telling you, girl, that I miss you. On everything is no lie. I've been sipping all on this liquor, trying to tell myself it's alright.
E&J, that Hennessy, VSOP, I need it if you're not with me. I gotta have it if you're not with me. One shot turns into a double. Without you, girl, I'm in trouble. It ain't even about your sex or the way you dress. I'm just trying to confess that I love you. E&J, that Hennessy, VSOP, I need it if you're not with me. I gotta have it if you're not with me. One shot turns into a double. Without you, girl, I'm in trouble. It ain't even about your sex or the way you dress. I'm just trying to confess, I've been drinking all night.
You like? Don't be scared, come closer. You never saw me like this before, huh? Look. I've been a goody daddy, but I don't have to be. If you don't want me to, I'll be a nasty baby. No time for games, no rules, just play. Hope you've been thinking about the same thing. I'm just saying what's on my mind. You've been good, but now it's time to show love what we made of. No time for games, no rules, just play. I hope you want me in the same way. Every time I close my eyes, all I dream about is making love. Can't even sleep at night. All I dream about is making love. It's just all the things I see when you're inside of me that keep my mind going crazy. I can't even think at night. All I dream about is making love. It's just all the things I see when you're inside of me that keep my mind going crazy. I can't even think at night. All I dream about is making love.
From the bottom to in my bones for you. There ain't a damn thing that I won't do. I'll make your body cream with my sex machine. I won't stop until I hear your mother scream. I wanna do, yeah.
Listen, I don't have time. If I'm hungry, I will eat. She's going to a block party. There should be food out there. Party outside. I don't see it. She thinks she's on my house here.
Brother like me and I took them chances on you. I was fucking all them hoes in the street. You left and I'm feeling lonely. I've been sipping and I'm trying to get sober. I need about 3 Coronas. Girl, I can't even focus. Now I'm holding on to this bottle. Still thinking about what I did. I know it ain't true. I gotta sip slow. I know this ain't how I live. But I still want to. Baby girl, let's shift. Talk for a minute, you don't even have to stay long. And I miss when you used to let me hit it from the back. You're telling me go deep and I stay long. And
that's why I'm sipping,
trying to get you out my mind.
I do stupid shit, you running me. That's why we do this all the time.
All the time.
All the time. This time there's a difference, girl. Cause you ain't coming back like you used to. And I've been sipping more than I used to do. I'm telling you, girl, that I miss you. On everything is no lie. I've been sipping all on this liquor. Trying to tell myself it's alright.
Just the other day, I had to ask myself, how could I ever do you like that?
Ooh.
I fuck up once and then a few more times, but you will still come right back. I know it seems like I'm drowning in my own sorrow. And maybe I'm a fool for that. You know I need you back. It's a love-hate thing, what we got. You be like no strings attached. It seems like every time we fight, same shit. I'm young and dumb, selfish. I keep a lot of hoes in my phone. I'll be damned if you wrong. What I need is you. Dying on the inside, but I'm steady trying to keep it cool. And if I don't get you back tonight, I'ma need a couple bottles of the absolute. Cause right now I'm sipping, sick, tripping, trying to get you out my mind.
Out my mind. I do stupid shit, you run and leave, and I swear we do this all the time. This time there's a difference, girl, cause you ain't coming back like you used to do. And I've been sipping more than I used to do. I'm telling you, girl, that I miss you. On everything is no lie. I've been sipping all on this liquor, trying to tell myself it's alright.
ENJ, that Hennessy, VSOP, I need it if you're not with me. I gotta have it if you're not with me. One shot turns into a double. Without you, girl, I'm in trouble. It ain't even about your sex or the way you dress. I'm just trying to confess that I love you. ENJ, that Hennessy, VSOP, I need it if you're not with me. I gotta have it if you're not with me. One shot turns into a double. Without you, girl, I'm in trouble. It ain't even about your sex or the way you dress. I'm just trying to confess I've been drinking all night.
So we ready? We ready to roll? Okay then, let's go. It's that moment. The moment of the evening you definitely don't want to miss. We got Mona and Elijah non-script on the drip. And on the drip we talk that literary shit while taking articulated risks. So trust, your ears gonna love you for this. We commit to this misbehavior and myth. And written scripts that frame our intellect properly, boasted by low-quality scholarly actors with thinking in poverty, like occupants of public housing property. Our novelty is highlighting thoughts from Arthur's, carefully cultivated, with Elijah and Flo. Authors come to this show, and when they go, believe they leave fully motivated. Yo, literary talks located on the drift of my platform in pure form, like when life is born. Raindrops come hard, but there is sun after the storm. So for the next 2 hours, soak in the light as the shining rays of the night fills you with life. We got two dynamics on the mic. This network is Drift the Mic, and you are listening to Literary Talks. Literary Talks with Mona. What's up, y'all? Mona, Elijah, yo, pull up.
And we're live. I was trying to do the clap thing.
clap.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to do the sound effects of the clap. I always mess that up. Hey. Okay, so hello everybody. Welcome back. Okay, so we were like on a 2 weeks hiatus. But I'm glad to be back. We're ending July, you know, with a bang. So welcome to Literary Talks with Mona. I'm Mona on Drip the Mic Network. Shout out to CEOs of Drip the Mic Network, IZ, pulmonologist Robinson, and Deidre Subliminal Robinson. Haven't spoke to them in a while. Hope you guys are well. Okay, so tonight my regular co-host is taking a he's MIA. His new job is calling. So we have my second co-host. You guys are familiar with author Serene Irene. So I'm glad she's gonna be filling in tonight. Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you, boo. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't know if the microphone, the headphone. I feel like I'm like in and out. But welcome. Thank you for co-hosting with me tonight.
Always. You know I got you.
Yes, yes. Okay, so tonight we have open forum. We're ending July, so our last show for July will actually be this Saturday, where we will have a guest author. I'm excited to chat with her. She's one of the authors under K. Renee Present. So, you know, they have like a group of very talented authors over there under Karen Renee. And this particular author, she's awesome. She has quite a few catalog under, quite a few books under her catalog. She's had a recent release. It's a finale to one of her series. She'll be here with us on Saturday, ending, closing out July. So for August, any authors that we did have scheduled for July, I navigated them over to August. So I'll be posting the list of authors for August on my Mona Promotes page, also my Mona Promotes page on Facebook. Also on Facebook is the Literary Talks with Mona business page. So please, you can go in there and you can comment. Under, you'll see all the links of all the past shows with all our past guests, and you can click on the link, you can listen to the shows, you can comment. So you could also reach out to all the past guest authors. I would really appreciate that. I'm going to create sort of like an email where readers can email, and if you have any questions, you know, for the future guests that you are shy or you just don't feel like, you know, logging in and, you know, ask the authors, you can email me your questions and I will read your questions out, you know, during our show and ask the authors, you know, for you. So I'll be starting
that. That's a
that
great
too.
Idea.
So, yes, yes, yes. So we're going to start that in August.
Or just, like, ask questions in general. Like, you know, we here, too.
Yeah,
so if you got a question to ask Mona, if you got a question to ask Serene or Elijah, like, ask
yes,
a question.
Yes, or, yes. Or our CEOs, Isis and Deidre.
Yeah.
Yes, feel free to mail in your, so starting in August. So starting in August next week when I post the flyers for the upcoming shows, I will post the email where you can email your questions ahead of time and make sure you put your name so I could, you know, give you a shout out. Because I know a lot of people, they call in and they just like, they just don't, people don't feel like, they don't feel like talking for whatever reason.
Girl,
you
know what,
so
surprisingly, I'm the same way because I will get on somebody's podcast and just listen and I'd be like, oh, I want to say something. And then I don't. Press the button and don't never say nothing. So, like, your podcast is the most interactive I've ever been on, but for the most part, I'd be like, I'm just like the readers. Like, I want to ask something, but I don't want to press the button. I don't want to say nothing. So, I don't say nothing.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm just like, I already know how they feeling, so, yep.
Yeah, so I came up with that idea. I said, you know, so why not, you know, because I used to see that on other shows. Like, I remember 106 in Part used to be one of my favorite shows back in the day, and they used to, you know, have, you know, the listeners, people who are listening, people who's watching, like all the fans, you know, you send in questions or comments, and then they'll read it, like, during the show. You know, like,
yeah.
If you know, if there's a particular upcoming, you know, rapper, singer, artist that was coming in the show and you wanted to ask them or you dying to ask them a question, they used to, you know, have you email your questions and they used to read it right there on the show. So that's where that idea came from. And I said, I remember that idea. I remember they used to do that back in the day. So I said, let me start. Let me copy.
Right. Get it copying.
Let me
get it popping. Okay.
So we're going to start that in August. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We're going to start that in August. So I look forward to that. Coming soon is the Blue Notes Publications website. And also, in addition to emailing, your questions or comments, you'll be able to, I'm going to have a section for my, you know, for my podcast, my live interviews, like any extra thing that I'm doing outside me being an author and a publisher, I will have that section on my website. So you can either email your questions or there'll be a section on your website where you can post your questions on the website. So either from email, between the email and the website, I'll read the question. So the website is scheduled to launch sometime towards the end of August or maybe the middle of August. I don't know the exact date yet. I'm still trying to get, you know, all the authors picked together. I still need to choose a picture. Oh, yeah. So I need your picture, Crystal. I mean,
I'll give it to you. Right.
Okay, so tonight is open forum. Open forum basically that, you know, we don't have no guest star tonight. Everybody's just welcome to call in. You want to chat with us. So tonight we're just basically, you know, I'm going to talk about, you know, what's going on in the industry, any special, you know, events coming up. I have some, you know, exciting, you know, things coming up soon. So, you know, I want to talk about it. I want to share it with you. I want to share some stuff that's going on in the industry right now and in the literature. So you are here. You're tuning in to Literary Talk with Mona, and that's what we do here. We talk literary. You know, we chat with authors, and when there's not an author, we talk literary. We talk books. We talk anything that has to do with literary, you know. So there's quite a few exciting stuff that's coming up in the in this industry, including with myself, with my company, Blue Notes Publications. Special shout out to my partner, CEO as well, author Jabril Williams. Special shout out to you. And Jabril is available on Facebook, but he will have contacts coming up soon. If on our website, you'll have the links, access to all his books and more form of contact for Jabril. Jabril has some exciting news coming soon, but I'm not going, that's not my news to tell. But he do have I will announce like his releases, his recent releases, his upcoming releases, about one or two of his projects. I'll briefly discuss it, but he has some exciting news that I'll let him, you know, announce that himself. But I'm very, 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 very excited. So shout out to author Jabril Williams. He's available on Facebook. His page is author Jabril Williams. Please send him a friend request and make sure you head on over to Amazon and one-click his catalog. I'll announce his two complete series that just released. You know, he just released the finale for two, so I'll share that with you shortly. So, once again, shout out to Jabril. Yes. Right. So, special shout out once again to my co-host for tonight, Serena Reese.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Okay, so just bear with me. I'm posting the show. I'm inviting everybody to, you know, to be free to call in. And call in and chat with us. So what's going on tonight, Serene, a.k.a. Crystal? Don't call me by my government. You sound like them.
Don't call me by my government.
Them hood niggas, they don't like that. Yeah, you call them by the name that's on their birth certificate, and they be ready
right.
to have a damn nigga.
Hold on,
they name
they
on
their
That name, hold on. His name be OG Loke, and the nigga named Preston.
Hell yeah, like Preston. Stop playing with me.
Like Preston. Don't make me go tell your mama Preston.
Shit. You're like, yo, why you calling for my government? I'm like, cause that's the name.
We need a whole writer book where, like, there's a dude and he's got the most OG nickname ever, but his name is like Brighton.
No, it'd be Lester, you know, Brighton or Clifford.
Clarence W. B. Williams III.
Yo, guys around my way used to hate my guts because I call you by the name your mama call you. I'm not calling you
right?
OG.
I don't know who is OG Logue. I don't know who that is.
Nigga. Murder, none of that. Okay, I'm going to call you Clifford.
That's cool. Your name is Christian. Your name is Christian. I don't know OG Double Oak or Lil Baby the Third. No, I don't know that.
Save this guy. I really think he broke up with me for that simple fact alone. His name was Ronald, but they used to call him R. It was R something. Damn, what was that stupid ass, goofy ass, fake ass gangster name they used to call me? It used to be R something, and then he had a cousin. Everybody whose name started with a L would their name would be L Boogie. That was the most populous nickname, L Boogie. Everybody and their mama whose name started with L, their name would be L Boogie. So he had a cousin whose name was Larry, and they used to call him L Boogie. You know, I remember even Lauren Hill, her name was like anybody with an L. Everybody gonna be an L Boogie. So L Boogie is supposed to be, you know, like they used to call, because, you know, Lauren Hill was from East Orange, and I knew people who knew her. She got that name, L Boogie, because she used to be the life of the party, like, you know, hanging out in East Orange, South Orange. She used to be, like, dancing. She used to start rapping. Her rapping skills, you know, was very apparent even when she was, you know, as a young girl. She was singing, dancing. So they used to call, she was like the entertainment when she used to attend those little local, you know, house parties East Orange, New Jersey. And shout out to East Orange, New Jersey. Yeah, so, you know, Wyclef, the Fugees, well, Wyclef and Lauren Hill are from, you know, New Jersey, you know, and I knew people who knew them, and Lauren Hill adapted that name, L Boogie, because she was the life of the party. So, but how about, like, there used to be, like, 50 other L Boogies in every town.
That's crazy.
Like, everybody was going L Boogie. Like, just because your name starts with
L Boogie, they all
have new
names.
That's going to be just
because I'm not calling them L Boogie. Like, you got no 8 L Boogie. Your name is Leon. Your name is D-Dog something.
Right.
You're not calling them fucking L
Boogie. Yeah, Leon, Larry, Lamar, LaShawn, everybody with an L in their name was a street name, L Boogie. I'm like, if I meet one more goddamn L Boogie, I'm
man,
gonna use my goddamn. Like, who told you that you gotta be an L Boogie?
Somebody asked you, like, you know L Boogie? Like, which one? You gotta describe him
which
deeper
one?
Than that.
There's like 50,000 others.
You gotta go to a whole other level. You gotta go deeper than that. What do he look like? What color is his eyes?
Yeah,
dark
exactly.
Well,
what's his last name, damn it?
Right? You know his real name? Everybody got a brother named
Chris Ron. When I first meet you, I need a first and last name, like, immediately. Like, don't even introduce. If you introduce yourself to me as C Murder G Money, I won't even give you the
name.
Like,
they call me the Don. Yeah, you can be the Don by yourself. What's your real name?
What they gave, well, when I was in junior high, they gave me my own little nickname, Moni Love. Well, not Moni Love. They had a Moni Love. You know, they used to call me Mo Love. That's my old school name. So I be calling myself that sometimes. Like my name on Instagram is Mo Love Promote. That's my back in the day name from the 80s. They gave me the name Moni Love. I was souped up.
Yeah, see, back in the day, I had like my name was like Lady K and Coco, but
hey.
I got Lady K from my cousin, and we was like, it was like three of us, and it was like, my cousin's name was Fat Fat, and my name was Lady K, and I can't remember what the other girl name was. I really don't, but yeah, that we was in high school, and that was our little group. That was our name, Lady K. And then when I got older, it was Coco. And we, you know, you should automatically know why, because it was like, oh, because you chocolate, because you dark skin, you cocoa. Oh, okay, that's gonna be my name. So that was my name, Lady K and Coco.
Yeah. wait.
We're not gonna talk about the childhood names, because the childhood names was. They made you feel sad, so I don't like none of my childhood names. Y'all can keep all them childhood names yourself, and I'm not going to repeat them, and I'm not going to announce them. But, yeah, for the most part, as a teenage year, it was Lady K, Coco, and that's where we're going to leave it at.
Right. Those childhood names are like, you know, so I even I was like, oh God, they used to just give me the name just for the hell of it. I was a very shy kid. So they gave me the name trying to get me to, you know, interact and stuff like that. So they're like, we're gonna call you Moni Love. But here's the thing about them old school names. It required you had to start freestyling. So the Catholic school I attended to, when they decided to give everybody a nickname, you had to freestyle. I said, "Oh hell, y'all can have that name back."
Right? Okay. Like, I ain't gonna do all that.
They was like, "All right, Moni Love, come on, freestyle." Oh no, Moni Love ain't freestyling. You can have that name back.
We don't do that.
Let's get back to Mona.
No, we don't do that. Sorry, I can take the name back if that's what y'all thought it was. You should have told me before I accepted it.
And then I tried one day, and I just kicked my, because, you know, I hated being embarrassed, you know. But I tried to, like, Moni Love on the microphone, and that's it.
That's how I went.
Yo, everybody started
you could
like
three times and you'd have been hit.
Yo, they were too stuck because they thought I was about to spit some good shit. Because it started out good. Moni Love. No, I even did the 1-2. A 1-2. Moni. Oh, God. They thought I was about to drop some bars. They were suit the hell up. And I went to Moni Love on the microphone, and I couldn't come up with shit else when I tell you. Then this other idiot, this Spanish boy, started beatboxing because he was super. He was like, "Oh shit, go Mona, go
shit." And like, and now you know, and now you know.
Yeah.
And we're like, there you go. That's what I got.
Those were the good old days. It was so hilarious. Oh my God, yo, the kids were so mad at me. They were like, "That's it, yeah, God damn it, the fuck."
I mean, like, I never told y'all I was a rapper just because you gave me this nickname. You know what I mean? I was about to become like the next NBA star. Like, you gave me the nickname. I never told y'all that I could rap. Never.
Well, freestyling was the thing back in the day, right? And everybody was doing it, but not everybody had the skills to do it.
But if you couldn't freestyle, you didn't just go up there. I mean, there were those who went up there and, you know, damn well, you was like, do you really think you sound good? Because you don't. But there
yeah,
were those
no, and,
who knew
and that I don't
they
like
didn't
being
sound
embarrassed.
Good. So it's like, I wasn't going to climb up on that stage and get up there and act like I knew how to rap, and I know damn well I couldn't rap. No, I'm going to sit back.
Well, if I sound a hot mess, guess who's not going to be standing up there trying to freaking freestyle? Okay. And,
right.
But freestyling.
Well, I mean, What you say? Hold on. What was your bars? Say them again. Say your bars again.
Oh, shit. Who's trying to drop some bars?
No, I said for you to say your bars again. Because we got to make that your, like, yeah, we got to make that your, like, new slogan. Like, Sam, come on now.
They did the bebop, and then it was like a 1-2, a 1-2. Moni Love on a microphone.
Okay, then what you say?
Huh?
What did you say?
That's what I said. That was me. That was
okay.
Like,
all right, there you go. That's the
I was
that's
like,
the old
one
insult every time you get on a Blog Talk Radio. You know what I'm saying? Drop that beat. Let's go find us a real beat real quick, and then you get on there and you do the little thing, and Moni Love on the microphone. Hey.
You both, why? All the kids were souped up, though. They were souping me up. They're like, hey, because they thought I was about to drop some bars. Because anytime you start a freestyle, a 1-2, they think you're all shit. She about to drop. You're about to drop some shit.
Oh, shit. They thought you was about to burn it. No, for real, though. That's how you need to start every single podcast. You need to start every single part. I want to.
Hell yeah.
That's going to be beautiful. I'm incorporating real-life scenarios into my podcast.
Stand by, everybody. I think my other co-host, my main co-host, Elijah Foreman.
Here we go. David Ruffin. Tell David. I'm going to call him David Ruffin.
Representing
New Jersey. I love
Elijah, though.
Here we go. Elijah on the mic.
What's up? What's up?
Hello.
What's going on?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Elijah.
Elijah, it's so amazing to hear your voice. How you doing?
First of all, I don't play with that nose candy, so ain't no David Ruffin around here. I ain't messing up nobody's show.
No, you know I'm messing with you. Because the last time when you said that, you know I'm messing with you. You know I'm messing with you.
I know.
Oh, Elijah, thank you for calling in. What's going on?
Not much. Working like crazy. Putting the finishing touches on this story.
I didn't want to be the first one to say it. That was going to be my first question. Like, are we still in the trenches, Elijah? Real
yes.
Talk.
I'm
looking
forward
to your story, so I'm waiting. Well, Elijah, I'm looking forward to your story. You know you got to represent Jersey in this one. You got to represent.
Period. Period.
I got you.
I wish I could be in the trenches, but I live in Phoenix, and we ain't got no trenches out here.
You don't got no
trenches. But I can't wait to read
no
the story.
There's no trenches for you,
Girl, you know what? I don't even know what in the trenches means, so I'm just saying, like...
In the trenches, everybody got some hood, got a ghetto in there.
I mean, we do got some hood and got some ghetto, yes, but we don't say
in the trenches.
Okay. Well, then I think I could probably figure it out.
Well,
I'm just seeing. I'm confused.
Elijah.
I'm in the trenches. I could drop like three. I probably could drop like four Phoenix niggas in Chicago, and they might survive. Everybody else is probably going to cry and snitch on everybody.
So, Elijah, is that what in the trenches really means?
In the trenches is another way to say I'm in the hood, pretty much. Okay. It's really for guys that's, you know, that's out here, you know, moving and hustling.
Right, right.
Okay, there you go. See,
drawing police attention to themselves.
I mean, I thought it was like a person, like a place or a scene. I didn't know. Like, don't get me wrong, because like we, if that's the case, like being in the hood. I didn't know it was being just in the hood.
I mean, a perfect hint would be that, you know, guys from Chicago and Detroit, Philly and Cali, they all stay in the trenches. So that's pretty much what that would mean. Some of the roughest neighborhoods you could think of.
Right. Okay, there we go.
Right, so, yes. Yeah,
I mean, we have, you know, Arizona got some rough stuff around here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's all we have.
Mm-hmm. We have our roughness, but we, you know, we don't have that.
Trust me, every state,
name like a lot of other states have.
Every state and every city has a ghetto somewhere.
They damn sure do. You right about that?
Yeah, that's how I was
yeah,
asking her.
Yeah, Phoenix is dangerous. Hell yeah, Phoenix is dangerous.
I've been to some of the smaller cities in Jersey. That's only like 3-4 square miles long. And when you ride through, you got the real nice suburban areas. And then you got like 3 or 4 blocks that you probably shouldn't turn down if you don't know nobody.
Right. Yeah. Eloy got that. Right, Adrian? Maybe. No?
Pretty much.
He said it's just dark. Oh, shit.
Nobody.
He could turn down all the blocks. He could be a tourist and turn down in the lodge.
I was tempted to do one because there's...
No, like, I'm just saying, like, I just... I
kind of
low,
Mom. I can't hear you.
I didn't grow up in the hood like that, but I've heard stories. I grew up in what I call the hood, and I've been around what I consider the hood. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
the hood is what is not the same in every city. It's, you know what I'm saying? They got levels to this shit. It's deeper in some cities, and then, like, in some ways it's the same. But you know, like you said, Elijah, every state, every city got a hood. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. You'd be surprised.
I promise you, if I took you to where I came from, you'd be wondering, like, where's the hood at? And you're going to see it in the blink of an eye. But when you see it, you're going to be like, yes, this is definitely the block. Like, for real.
Well, I definitely want to do a volume. So Jabril had came up with the idea that we do a volume 2, you know, after we drop, because these short stories are going to be released individually, and we're going to, you know, turn them into, I'm going to form them into a box set once they're, you know, released individually. And
there
so Jabril has,
word count set for this, was it?
Well, the minimum is 25,000. You're more than
but for
welcome.
You, Elijah, 45. For you, Elijah, it's 45.
45.
Well, I mean, you're more than welcome to go over. But the yeah,
you
know,
y'all want
you're
me out of retirement that bad? I know
I
took a little break.
We need something because we was missing you. Like, I was ready for you for when the heart wants. And then
well,
you didn't get nothing. So in the trenches, like,
no,
I'm waiting. Like, I want to see some Elijah, like, real talk.
No, Elijah's an excellent writer. You know, I've been a fan
of
Elijah.
Books, so definitely, I already know. That's why I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying it's
okay,
to talk
see,
shit.
Okay, she supported
you.
She done
like,
one quick. Your
if
book,
you call
Elijah.
It retirement, please, can you come out of it? So we can, like,
I just seem to have lost the flavor for writing, but that's how I've been trying. That's why I invited him to join these projects to get his, you know, feel, you know, for writing again. Because Elijah can write. Elijah is an excellent writer. And, yeah, and Elijah into erotica.
I can honestly say ever since COVID hit, I've been making some poor health choices, like with my diet and, you know, drinking a little bit, stuff like that, little partying. The health has played a part with me not, you know, writing as much also, along with the podcasting, because with me, it's always been like a spiritual thing almost when I start writing. So if I'm not in the spirit of moving the pen the way I want to, it's kind of hard. But in a weird way, one thing that has made me want to come back, I've been paying attention to these numbers in these page reads lately. In the last 3 months, I got about 50,000 page reads. And it's all off of older work. It's all off of, like, the Maker Cream series, the Baby Mama Game series, stuff like that, stuff that's been out for some years. So seeing that kind of put the spark back in me. They checking for me a little bit. Okay.
Just a little bit.
50,000 page reads in 3 months. That's not easy.
Well, that's what's up. Well, that's because you got quite a few. Well, that's because you have.
And you just got to talk about poor health choices. Can I send you some orange juice?
Orange?
You think I need some orange juice?
Yeah, I think you need some orange juice. I think if you get some orange juice in your life, you'll go whole back to, like, writing all the damn time.
Is that just orange juice by itself? Because by the way your voice sound, hold on.
Not with no liquor, not no mimosa. You need orange juice, some vitamin C.
The way your voice sounded just now, it sounds like some white liquor might be in there, some
No, we're going to send you regular. No, we want you to write. We want you to feel healthy. So
I'm just saying, your voice got real low when you said that. Like, would you like some orange juice?
I got some orange juice for you. I don't need to drug you to make you right, so I think you're fine. You going to get some regular. You know what? I'm going to send you some smart water or something. That way you can't be like, oh, she drugged it. The cap going to be covered completely, so.
You know what's crazy? A lot of authors have told me they can't write nothing unless they're drinking a little bit or they smoke some weed and they high. I can't do that. I tried. Every time I get tipsy, I'm going to sleep. Ain't no writing. What you mean?
Well, right. Now, tipsy, yes, ain't no writing. But high, that's a different thing because for me, don't get me wrong, I can write sober. I can write in any type of mind frame. However, when I get tipsy, the writing ain't gonna last too long. But if I get high, I can write because for one, they got a thing called dispensaries nowadays, and I know what not to get. So I tell them, look, I'm a writer, and this is what I need. I don't need nothing that's gonna make me fall asleep. And when I buy the stuff, I don't fall asleep. So. Yeah, I go get that because I ain't got time for these people and I don't got time for it because I don't want to smoke something and then I fall asleep.
You ain't getting none of that Cat Williams special delivery, huh?
I can get a Cat Williams special delivery. They got delivery services, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not a writer. I can't say, like, I cannot write unless I'm high. But I will say that sometimes when I am high, it does help me with, like, going over with my creativity to the point where I could, like, bring a story together. You know what I mean? So
I guess it depends on what kind of story you write.
it does depend on what kind of story you're writing. But at the same time, like, I don't knock none of these authors. Now, if you feel like you can't write at all because you're not high, then nah, that's some different shit. I can write high, sober, whatever, but I'm not about to.
That's
like,
how
I won't,
some
I
people
say it. It does help.
I know a couple authors and a couple rappers that are like that. They can't do nothing unless they had a drink
unless
or two and a blunt in their system.
That's crazy.
And because that brings out, what you got to understand is that certain things like that brings out a different personality. And like, I've seen people do it before. I've watched people do it. Is sometimes it helps them bring out a certain personality, and that's the persona that they want to, you know, convey to people. They don't want to be the quiet person or the person that, like, you know what I'm saying, I got to overthink myself. Some people are overthinkers. So when they get high, like, they shit comes together, and if they, you know, drinking, then they be able to produce some different stuff. It is some people like that. It's I wouldn't, like, say it like, oh, I could knock them. That's just a different type of talent. Like, this is what I got to do. Like, some of us got to do certain things. Some people got to meditate before they do something. Some people got to, you know what I'm saying? Some people got to drink a cup of coffee before they start writing in the morning. Some people got to stretch. You know what I'm saying? We all do our more. If some people got to do certain things in order for them to produce the talent that they have. And then some of us, we got this shit naturally. And then shit just come out no matter what we do. And sometimes doing certain things hinder us. But, like, for anybody who do anything, like, I do not hate on them at all unless it stops you from being creative. If it stops you, if it hinders you from being creative, then you need to stop doing that. Then you don't need to do that no more. You don't need to get high. You don't need to drink. You don't need to sleep. You know what I'm saying? If it stops you, but if it helps enhance you, then by all means, just make sure you know your limit and you know when you what you got to do. But when it comes to you, like, stopping your money from coming in, then that's when you gotta you gotta look at that stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
like,
it's also
hinders,
yeah, but it's also not a good thing when you become like dependent on it. Like there was a time where a few years ago I had became dependent on alcohol to really, you know, help me write, you know, to enhance my skills, and it just became, you know, just not a good thing. I think that's why, you know, I barely drink now, and I think it when I decided to cut alcohol, it's crazy. That's when my creativity kind of, like, you know, and then I lost some of my work. I lost a manuscript, one of my part twos. After the Honeymoon 2, I was at 87,000 words, and I lost all that, and I just became real discouraged. And that's one of the reasons why, so if the readers are wondering why you ain't receive part, matter of fact, I had to explain myself earlier to a reader.
Another sidebar, too, for anybody who listened to me on this show and got in tune with my show, the Unapologetic Podcast is under construction right now. I left the hosting site that I was under, and I'm getting ready to relaunch under a new hosting site. So bear with me. If y'all looking for episodes and they not there, it's because I took them down. We getting ready to bring them back up.
Right.
A couple of the authors I interviewed was like posting the flyer I had made and was trying to get people to listen to their episode. And then they would hit me up and be like, where's my episode at? So I had to explain, you know.
Life happens, stuff take place. We gotta update, we gotta move around, you know what I'm saying? So those understand, and they're gonna be waiting for it to be back up and running.
It was really just the fact that the hosting site that I was with, I was doing a lot of things and learning a lot of things on my own, and I really didn't have that much support. Like, for anybody who knows me, when I started the show, the hosting site that I was under, they have a studio that they would provide for anybody who has a show under them. I used their studio for like maybe 5 or 6 episodes. After that, I went out and got my own equipment, and I learned everything to the point where I literally record episodes in my house and edit everything, put the flyers together. So all of that I learned on my own. I really didn't get any support from the network I was under. And I felt like it was becoming an issue because a lot of credit was going to them as if they were helping me out. And then, you know, the last straw, they had a podcast convention recently, a little bit after my birthday in June. And they invited all the shows that are under their network. They invited all the hosts to come out. So I'm thinking, you know, this is free for us. You know, we're the reason why this is going on. The owner of the network charged each one of us $100 to get in per person. So when I saw that, I said, yeah, I'm not paying you $100, bro. You bugging. I already pay you a hosting fee to have my show on your network. I got to pay you to get in this convention to get advice that I can get for free from somebody else. I'm good. And on top of that, I'm taking my show with me. That was the last straw. So, you know, just taking a break for this month. I actually have like about 4 interviews in the vault already. So you'll probably hear from me within the next couple of weeks. In early August, I'll be back around with the show. So, you know, that's for anybody listening that's wondering where my show is. I had to take it down for a second.
Okay.
But we'll
okay,
be back.
Awesome. Well, I think I saw you post an episode recently, so that I didn't know you were, like, you know, down, temporarily down. I think last week, you with Jamie with Jamie Alicia.
No, that was her. She posted the link. That's what I was saying. Like, she posted it thinking it was still up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
Yeah, I saw her post. Okay, so when you took the show, so all the links were came down.
Pretty much, because the they call it when you're doing a show that's pre-recorded. There's a link called the RSS feed that the network provides you. And you could take this link and you give it to Apple and Amazon, and this is how you get your show on all these different platforms. So when I took my show off the network, they deleted that link. So I pretty much disappeared off the face of the earth for a couple weeks, which is cool.
Okay.
I got all my episodes saved, so when I come back you know, your interview will be back up. You know, everybody else's interview I did will be back. So, you know.
Okay.
Y'all will be
back
soon.
I didn't even know mine was down. But well,
everybody's
tag me when
down.
It's back up. Right. Well, tag me when it's back up. And, cause I haven't promoted it in a while. And I think I never really promoted part 3 because I believe it was 3 parts to my interview, right?
Yeah, part 3 was when it got a little ugly. That's when, you know, we started talking about people we don't like too much no more.
You had to. Well, I hope you did me good with the edit, because we were talking about that. You was like, I said, wait a minute, this is being edited, right?
Yeah, I cut all that out. As soon as we got off the air, we were still on the phone. I asked you, I said, you sure you want me to put that in the show?
Yeah, I was
Are you positive?
Yeah, cut some stuff out. I was in the zone.
I'm just sad to say that this entire time that you know what I'm saying, I be over here repping Elijah and talking. I ain't never got invited to the show. That's all I'm saying.
Please invite her.
She's still in the early stages. Come on now. I only did 12 interviews so far, so we ain't going to act like I'd have interviewed 100 people.
I still say what I gotta say. I still ain't invited for no interview, but it's all good. It's okay. You know what I'm saying? It's all good.
Nah, I got some ideas coming up.
And all that.
As a matter of fact, I guess I could say this on air. I interviewed a young lady that you know, was signed to the same company I was signed under a few years ago. Her name is Aisha Lene. Uh-huh. And pretty much talked about her career, but once we got off the air, she asked me if I knew any shows that she could speak about some personal stuff on. And when we got into details, she was talking about, like, domestic violence and stuff like that. And your show was the first show that I thought about. So I'm going to link you with her when we when we get off of this. I don't know if you have anything like, because I know Domestic Violence Month is coming up soon. So
Well, Domestic Violence Month comes up in October, and, you know, that's a touchy subject for me because, you know, I grew up, you know, with a mom who is a domestic violence, you know, victim. You know, I experienced it, you know, a couple of times myself. So, yes, I'm definitely going to do a special segment in October. So, yes, please have her reach out to me. And we're going to definitely make that happen. So every month we're going to be having like at least one or two. It's like I hear an echo. My voice is repeating back to me, so it kind of threw me off. But we're going to have one or two open forum, you know, where we're basically going to have like a open forum show where we won't be chatting with any guests. Authors that will be having open forum where we're going to be openly chatting about different topics, you know, stuff. So tonight we're just talking about stuff that's happening in the industry. I have some announcements, you know, but there's going to be other episodes open forum where it's going to be different topics. You know, I really wanted to tag.
I got a question for you though, Mona. Off subject a little bit. I know how big of a Tupac fan that you are.
Yes.
How did you feel when T-Pain said what he said about Tupac recently?
What did he say? I'm sorry, I've been kind of out of the loop.
He was on somebody's podcast. I forget whose podcast it was. And he said that if Tupac was alive today, some of these young rappers that's out right now will probably kill Tupac. He probably would have died sooner.
What do you mean? Kill him?
Lyrically and literally.
Absolutely not.
Well, damn. Absolutely. Well, I don't know about lyrically. I mean, anybody could pull out a gun and kill somebody. But lyrically, no. I can't think of one rapper right now that can touch Tupac. There's no rappers out right now that can touch Tupac. There's a couple author rappers that I like. I like hearing them. I like listening to them rap. But I'm sorry, they can't touch Tupac. They can't touch Tupac. I like some of the flows. You know, some of the rappers. I like Drake. I like the way he rap. I like his.
He's not even in the category of possibly touching Tupac at all.
Well, Drake is more of an entertainer. Well, he's like a pop.
He's nowhere in the category of touching Tupac at all. I would think I say
the only rapper right now that probably could, like, if there was like a versus that could step on stage with Tupac and go toe to toe with him is Kevin Gates.
I think that right now, for my thoughts, it would be J. Cole or like Kendrick Lamar or something, but maybe Kendrick, I don't know about J. Cole.
It's more than one element to Tupac. So Mona's talking about the street element.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about, no, not the street elements. I'm talking about lyrical, the lyrical, you know, like no, lyrically. No, yeah, J. Cole.
Oh, you mean as a whole?
Yeah, as a whole.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's what she meant in the beginning, as a whole.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I only know a handful of Kevin Gates songs, so I don't know if I can go with you there, man.
I listen to some Kevin Gates, and I'm talking about
intellectually, lyrically. Well, you never. I mean, Kevin Gates could be ignorant, but he reminds me of Tupac, because Tupac used to say some ignorant stuff. May he rest in peace. I loved him, but
right.
Sometimes some of the things he said were like, Negro, really? But you listen to him. You couldn't help but just listen to him when he speaks. So Kevin
right.
Gates is the same thing. In fact, that interview he did recently with Carisha, he was saying some 60% of the interview was ignorant.
I heard he was getting real candid with his with the sexual commentary on that one.
Oh yeah, he's very well. That's yeah. who he is. Well, he gets candid. He get well. That didn't surprise me, because he gets candid sexually in his songs and his rap. And so he's just very.
Right.
He's a very sexual person. He's very candid about it. He's not shy. And then he's just, you know, but some of the things he was saying, just interesting when he's talking about, like, a woman. He was saying, you know, like, he won't even have sex with a woman until she allows him to bathe her. Like, he was like, he won't even lay down with you, because half of these women don't really know how to bathe themselves. They don't know how to really cleanse themselves. His mindset is just very interesting. You don't hear too many dudes talking like that. he was like, he was
talking. He's not it. I'm sorry, but I will disagree with you on this one. Kevin Gates, no. Like, I promise you, in my personal opinion, you can never, ever, ever, ever compare Kevin Gates to Tupac at all. At all. You can't compare nobody to Tupac.
I think he's up there.
I think
he's up there.
I think,
I like listening to him rap. It's different to being up there and comparing.
He's not up there. Not Kevin Gates. No way.
Yes.
I'm talking about a unique way of rapping, a unique way of speaking, the controversy, the sexual appeal. I'm talking about all in one. He didn't know that was his cousin at first, though. He found out at a family reunion, which is crazy.
The issue with that is when he found out, he decided to stay. We don't have to talk about that point, but at the end of the day, bars, when it comes to him being lyrical, I don't care. No, like Tupac, absolutely not. He's nowhere near the subject. Not at all. For me, that's
so.
My personal opinion. I don't think so. I don't. Not Kevin Gates. Yeah, you can name anybody else, but not Kevin Gates at all. I'm sorry, but y'all don't get mad at me. I love all y'all. Please don't get mad at me.
I think he comes
cool. But at the end of the day, Kevin Gates, absolutely not. You cannot put him in no category with Tupac at all, period.
Yeah, I don't see that.
That's
100%.
How I feel. You cannot.
I do.
But see, I'm a little biased, because when people ask me my top five, I can't really give them a five. Like, number one is Tupac and Biggie. Number two is Jay-Z and Nas. So it's like, you lost me already. Number five can go to anybody. I got like 10 people that can go on number five. But mm-hmm. I can't choose one over the other when I'm looking at Tupac or Biggie, because there's different things that they were great at. When you look at, when you're listening to flow, Biggie's going to kill Tupac on flow every day. But when you're talking about subject matter and you're talking about, like, the things that Pop was talking about,
what Biggie
Pac is way
was better
than Big.
When
I have a caller.
Yes, he was.
I have a caller, but they can't call in, so they finna call in. They want to speak on this Kevin Gates matter. So, Mona, respectively... I have a caller, but they gonna speak on my phone. So I got.
Well, what's the number?
Is it okay?
Wait.
No, they ain't on number. I'm gonna hand them.
I'm going to hand them my phone. They hear. They've heard the conversation. Oh. They just walked to the door. They're like, Kevin Gates, wait a minute. So they got something to say about how they feel about Kevin Gates and Tupac. And, you know, this is a caller, you guys, so don't beat them up, all right?
All right.
Here we go.
So I just wanted to say that no matter what the talent level, what you think the talent level is or the songs or anything, Tupac never embarrassed himself, ever. Everything he did,
at least seemed
righteous, even if it was wrong.
Wait, he didn't embarrass himself?
Never. But Kevin Gates embarrasses himself all the time. Everything that's wrong with Kevin Gates, he's the one that told you about it. Nobody knew until Kevin Gates told you. So all his business that's out there is because he told all his business. He be making himself look crazy. So, yeah, he's
okay,
all
well,
like,
well,
with the
I love Tupac, but Tupac had his moments.
And all that. But he's also crazy, and he says crazy shit that makes him look crazy.
Okay, but Tupac had his crazy moments, too. That whole Biggie thing, Tupac went overboard a lot of times, okay? He went overboard a lot of times. He did too much a lot
wrong.
Of times. I don't want to say
it's
he
not.
Embarrassed himself, but I did, like, if I was his mom, I would have been embarrassed by some of the things that he was doing. I love Tupac. Don't get me wrong. But he did too far. He went too far. That whole beef with Biggie, I think if Tupac had settled down, relaxed, resuscitate the situation, and listen to Biggie, because Biggie tried to talk to him 101 plenty of times, but he was such a hothead and was like, no, you shot me, you shot, didn't even want to listen to him, didn't even want to have a conversation with the man.
He made a decision and he ran with it.
Mona, that wasn't so much Big, though. That was Puff. Puff putting out Who Shot Ya is the reason why Biggie and Tupac are dead today. If he didn't put that song out, none of that would have never happened. Because you got to look at it from Tupac's point of view. If I'm in jail and I can't see you or talk to you unless you come visit me, but I hear somebody playing a song on the radio that sounds like the direct diss to me, and talking about my experience that just happened a few months ago, it sounds like you're coming at me a little bit.
You're coming at me.
Well,
exactly.
Guess what? Tupac started it first, but hit him up. Who Shot Ya started it? Hit him up was the reply. Tupac released Hit Him Up first.
No, he didn't. Who Shot Ya came out when he was in prison?
Yes, it did.
Who Shot Ya came out in 95 when he was in prison?
Okay, well, according to Biggie,
when we get off of this, listen and Hit Him Up. He says it in the song. It's a reply. He said, you shot me, but you punk didn't finish.
I'm gonna go back and listen to it.
That the moon is in a new moon right now, and maybe we should stop talking about rap stuff because it sounds like we're getting like too overly obsessed with rap stuff.
No, we're just having fun.
Let's end this subject.
Me and Mona talk like this when there ain't nobody around.
Let's end the conversation. We got to talk about something else.
Hold on. I
want to
say something. What?
Go ahead.
Me and Mona talk like this when it's just us on the phone.
It's your show. You say whatever you want to.
I said me and Mona talk like this all the time.
No, I know that. I'm not saying nothing serious. What I'm saying is, like, we got like 30. We could talk about a whole bunch of different things. What I'm saying is, at the end of the day, the question was, who do we feel who could compete with Tupac in this day and era, or who would take him out in this day and era. I feel like all the young people would take him out as far as, like, gun control goes, because everybody want to shoot everybody, so anybody could shoot Tupac right now if he was still alive. However, when
it comes to the music, lyrically, nobody
for me. I wouldn't even put nobody on a category, but when you say Kevin Gates, then I'm going to say J. Cole, and I'm going to say Kendrick Lamar. And then, Elijah, who you got?
Respectfully, nobody. And I'm going to tell you why.
No. I feel you. I feel you.
Me against the world.
Nobody.
Listen,
but
when you talk about albums, Me Against the World, All Eyes on Me, and that Machiavelli album. Those albums came out 20 years ago, and they still get played in my car right now.
But I'm saying, this is what I'm saying, like, if you could choose somebody, like, Mona has chose someone, so that means we have to choose someone. We both agree. Nobody. I really can't. But I promise you, I'm not going to let Kevin Gates' name get thrown out there and that be the only name. So if I'm going to throw some names out there, I'm going to choose. I'm just saying.
Not even J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar, because those guys are students of Tupac.
They cannot. They're like students. They cannot touch him at all. But in my mind, if I'm going to even think of somebody, don't get me wrong, I could think of somebody better. However, right now I'm just going to throw out there, J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, there's definitely 13,000 other people who could probably even possibly compare. But
Let's lighten the mood. I got another question.
Here we go.
I got another question for y'all.
Kevin Gates, no.
I got another question for y'all.
Period.
I got another question for y'all. Now, see, when Hit 'Em Up came out, right, I was a youngin'. I ain't know nothing about Tupac or Biggie. I was too young. There was something that was said in Hit 'Em Up that's still being talked about today. Damn it, did Tupac smash Faith Evans or not? What y'all think?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
She claimed it didn't happen.
She claimed it didn't happen, but everybody else that lived in L.A. at the time claimed that she was out there hanging with Pop. And was in his hotel room chilling with him.
Adrian. I'm sitting there right now. Adrian.
What?
I mean,
she denied.
Say yes or no. He said yes. Yes.
It'd be a lot of interviews on YouTube with people that was around Pac that have direct stories of Faith being in the studio with Pac, buying them gifts, sliding out to the club, and then sliding to the hotel.
According to her,
she ran into him. He invited her to record a song. She went in the studio with him, recorded a song, and that was it. But I do remember seeing that. That's what most bitches say, though.
And then next thing you know, she got a baby by this nigga. Stop. Yes.
Well, I do remember different interviews from, you know, like, you know, the whole crew, like people who was in L.A. around that time who did say that she was with him on quite a few days other than that night that she claimed.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. From the interviews I see, it sound like Death Row was cold-blooded back in them days, because from the stories I've seen, Death Row had Mary at one point over there hanging with them and doing some things. They had one of Puff's baby mamas over there, and they had Faith. So it's like, goddamn.
Misa was hanging with them.
Yeah, Misa was hanging with Suge. And you know Suge ain't just about to hang with no female. He got females that's down for whatever hanging with him at that time.
Well, it was just very weird to me how... You know, like, how you supposed to be down with Bad Boy and you over here, like, you chilling with the enemy? Like, that was just very weird to me. I didn't get that part. Like, what was it that he was saying to these women to get them to, like, because they, you know, the crews are beef now. If I'm down with the East Coast crew.
It was more vulnerability to me, because all three of them females was having relationship issues. You got to remember, Mary J. Blige was messing with KC at that time.
Mm-hmm.
From Jodeci. And they kind of fell out.
Well, she was wherever the drugs was at. She was very, like, you know, into the drugs. So wherever the drugs, the party was at, she was down. She ain't give a damn. But
at the same time, she always says her and KC was kind of going at it around that time because he was doing the same kind of thing and messing with females in the midst of it. Then, you know, everybody know Puff wasn't faithful. So Misa was going through it. And then, you know, everybody know Big had him too.
Well,
if Big didn't have nothing else, he had the women.
Well, if Faith did screw Tupac, I think she did it out of, you know, revenge because, you know, she was still going through it.
Because that's what bitches do. They fuck niggas that they feel going to take them somewhere. That bitch fucked them.
No, she did it. No, because she was,
I'm not about to give this bitch props to be like, stand up woman.
No, but
no.
You're going to screw the dude that your husband is beefing with?
No.
Yeah, but you're not gonna go screw the Negro that your husband is beefing with. That's a no no. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
She made that shit work.
Let her tell it. She claims she ain't even know they was beefing.
Now that's a lie. I never heard her say that though. I heard her deny sleeping with him. She denied she gave her version. Tupac had his version. She said she only hanged out with him one night in the studio. They record this little bullshit song that we ain't never heard together, and that's it.
That was it. You want to know why you ain't never heard? Because Puff threatened to sue them, and they took Faith off.
Well, Faith should have never went and recorded the song in the first. She knew what she was doing, and she did really that. I don't even understand why you was even hanging out with this man who's beefing real hard with your husband. Like, it just made no sense to me. And you're on the opposite record label. Like, the two dudes are beefing. The record labels are beefing. The CEOs of the record labels beefing. Everybody beefing, and you chilling with them. Makes no fucking sense. Then you're going to record a song knowing that she knew Puffy would have a problem with that. Like, come on.
I'm going to be honest.
It just
I gave Faith the benefit of the doubt until she did one thing recently when she married Stevie J. That was kind of like, whoa.
Oh, my God. Please don't talk about that.
Because Stevie J produced a little bit of Biggie's music.
Biggie
knew Stevie J. That's
Puff trying to marry Lil' Kim
knowing Lil' Kim was messing with Big all them years. That's like, that
like
wouldn't sound right.
From Ratatouille, Stevie J. No, she married some, what's her name? Jacqueline? Jacqueline? She married her backwash. Like, she married her backwash.
Cool.
Right.
I don't have a problem with the fact that they were friends.
From Love and Hip Hop. Y'all know what you're talking about.
Here's a hoe. Exactly.
Stevie and Biggie were friends.
That's not even
but
a
this man has been deceased for over 20 years now. So I don't have a problem.
Awesome.
I got a problem with the fact. I just feel like Stevie J is beneath her, period.
First of all, I feel like Stevie J is beneath me. So stop.
Listen, at the end of the day,
I don't give a damn how many years I'm dead and gone.
If any of my guys that I hung out with over the years,
but
if any of them
does, He do that shit.
Wait, hold on.
Fame and fortune on some, because he rich. He can do that shit. That nigga does not have no standing. He does not have no credit of being a real ass nigga. No, he's a fucking super producer, and he's that nigga that can do whatever the fuck he want. He ain't shit.
Well, I think he's just my husband, but he's my husband material, period. Nobody should have married him. But wait a minute, Eliza, say, finish what you were saying. Hold on, Serene. What were you saying, Eliza?
My thing is this. I was responding to what you said about Biggie being gone for 20-plus years. I don't care how long I'm gone. If I'm dead and gone, none of my brothers, guys that I hung with, better not ever think about sliding up in something I was sliding in 20 years ago. That's still off limits. I would never do that to my bro.
What's funny
is that
I
can't bring myself to come to his gravesite ever again. And if I'm sitting there smashing his wife.
You the only person in the world that's not going to do nobody. Niggas will do you like that. Elijah, let's keep it real. You probably the only person that's going to say, oh, I would never do you like that. But you know niggas would do niggas like that. Like, let's
keep
it real.
And you
want to
know why niggas would do that?
You want to
know why niggas would do that, though?
Niggas is grimy. Niggas is not no joke. They
hold on.
Do
hold on.
Just like that.
Hold on. Do you want to know why niggas would do that?
Because
niggas are used to dealing with the same females in their 15-mile square radius of their city, wherever they at.
Exactly.
I'm the type of dude
that
has been able to travel. There's different women in other places.
Because you ain't never introduced her to them. But on some real-ass shit, like the shit you were just saying, I feel you. You sound like a stand-up nigga. But at the end of that day, you know niggas would do niggas like that. Like, come on now. Like you.
That's
you
because they only use to the females that's in their hometown.
But
they never seen nothing different.
Even if they met your bitch and she was from fucking Afghanistan. And I promise you, if they could slide up in that bitch, they gonna do it. And you only gonna have like you got 10 niggas. Out of 10 of them niggas, it's 2 niggas that's not gonna slide up. That's not even gonna try.
But if you've been there for 20 years,
real talk, exactly. Look, just like my brother said, if you've been there for 20 years, fuck what you talking about. I'ma slide up in that bitch.
To be honest with you, if my bro been dead for 20 years, then that mean I had 20 years worth of opportunity to meet different kinds of women. I never got to look at her like that.
How many bros? Let me give you. Out of 20 of your niggas, is all 20 niggas your bro?
Not at all. That's why I said bros. Because Stevie J was looked at as a bro.
I'm saying like 5 of them niggas ain't gonna slide up
like that, Eliza.
But about 18 of them niggas is gonna still slide up
like that.
Real talk.
Let them Lil' C's and Lil' Kim, let them tell it they were like bros. Because
they
were shocked when they got married.
They treated them like what the fuck they were. Did they not? Did they not?
Well, Little Kim can't talk.
Why
because Little Kim ended up dating with Biggie's best friend.
That nigga Biggie fucked with fucking Faith Evans when he should have fucked with Little Kim, but he didn't.
He was messing with Little Kim. He was messing with both of them for years. But
he was.
Yeah, but check out. Little Kim can't talk because Little Kim ended up getting with Biggie's best friend a few years
out. That don't mean nothing. Biggie was doing a lot of bullshit.
If we want to talk about loyalty.
Nobody can talk about loyalty. I'm not even speaking on loyalty. What I'm saying is you can have 10 niggas and I bet you 5 of them will fuck your bitch.
And 5 of them would get their ass whooped too if I'm still around.
Three of them ain't gonna still be around. 2 of them, you ain't gonna never even know fucked your bitch, and you gonna be still chilling with them niggas until 10 years from now you find out they fucked your bitch. Real talk.
And Simona, this is why I'm a loner. This is why I love being by my damn self.
But you know
only
I'm keeping it real.
You know,
only
I'm
a chosen few be around me.
You know I'm keeping it real. That's how bitches be. Like, for real. That's how females be. Like, you could talk about what you know about niggas. I'm telling you what I know about bitches. I don't watch
right.
them. I see them. You know what I'm saying? I'm a female. I got friends. And I'm not going to sit here and say all my friends are jolly, great motherfuckers. I got friends that, yeah, they my friends, but bitch, you a hoe. I got friends.
Oh my God.
I got friends. I'm not, Elijah, I'm finna keep it real with you. I got friends. They married. Bitch, you is a hoe. I'm real punk. So I know
okay,
what you're talking about. I'm not saying this on no, like, oh, I'm just, like, thinking of, like, I'm not generalizing black women. No, I know how the people, white girls, I got a couple of Mexican homegirls. Real talk.
Okay.
I got some Asian homegirls. Real talk. And they literally, and I'm not saying all my friends. I got some good friends. Don't get me wrong. Stop. Don't let me say all of them. I got some good friends. But I do got some friends where I can speak on, and I'm their friend. So they tell me about their shit. And I be like, what the fuck? And I be knowing. So I'm telling you, like, nigga, like, out of all, like, 20 of these hoes, fucking 15% of them is fucking hoes. And when it comes to these niggas, you got 20 niggas. Fucking 5% of them is, nah, I ain't gonna say 5. I'm gonna say 8. 8% of them is some real ass niggas. And then some of them gonna fuck with the wrong bitches that ain't no hoes, and they gonna get their heartbreak. And then some of them is going to fuck with some motherfuckers, and they all knew that wasn't nobody trying to catch no feelings. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how the game works.
Well, hold on a minute. Okay, so let's take a breather. Let's breathe.
I thought the breeze was a long time ago, but I was like,
well,
we had some
callers listening, and they all left, so I don't know if we was a little bit too raw for them, so let's, you know, relax for a minute.
I think our conversation is amazing. They just can't fuck with us, so they better get on our level. They better get on our level.
Oh,
well, lady.
Okay, so
we talk about Biggie, Tupac, and Faith Evans and Lil' Kim. So we both be talking about books. Let's get back to talk about books. That's probably why they left. They was like, don't nobody want to talk about that. Like,
okay, let's go back to Lil'
Kim. 95% of them probably said, fuck Kevin Gates. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm sorry. I like him. Okay. I like him.
No, I'm just fucking with you. You know I'm just fucking with you. I'm just, you know I'm just messing with you.
I like Kevin Gates. I like listening to him talk. I was in awe watching his interview.
But I would never
Mona,
talk ever.
Look, Mona, a lady named Adrian was trying to get in because I see her her Facebook messages, she was trying to get in and she said she's out. Y'all couldn't hear her.
No, so Adrian. Well, I saw, what's her number? I saw there was a 773 number, but she didn't press 1 to chat. She just wanted to listen.
She just sent a message to the In the Trenches group chat and she was saying that she's in, but she don't think y'all can hear her.
Tell her to call back.
Well, in order to hear, she had to press 1 to chat. So that must have been her number. I saw a 773 number.
Elijah,
well, okay, tell her she
got
to press 1 if she want
to
talk. Because she didn't press 1, so that's why. Yeah, tell her she got to press 1.
I can message her back in the group chat.
Let's not have no controversy conversation. Let's not have a controversy. Let's wait for her to call back.
No, this is what we do here. Listen, we could step out.
Because if we get too deep, Mona,
if we're talking about rap, then that falls along the line with the literary, because that's artistic.
We're talking about Biggie, Tupac, and let's talk about other people. Let's talk about what's her name? Shit. Let's talk about Frida Kahlo. Does anybody know who Frida Kahlo is?
Oh, no, no, no. Well, we're going to talk about literary talk, but I had some stuff I wanted to cover for literary tonight.
What are you talking about?
Who's Mr. Carlo? No, who is that?
I was trying to get literary with y'all, but okay. Go ahead.
No, who is that? Go ahead. Say what you have to say, and then I'll make my announcement.
She is an author. However, her books consist of artwork, like drawings and stuff. The month of July, I don't know exactly what day, but it was her birthday. And she is an artist who she specializes in doing self-portraits. So she does a lot of self-portraits of herself. I will not lie, some of her portraits are very disturbing when you look at them. But disturbing as in, like, what, bitch, why you draw that type shit? But, like she has her face on a deer.
I'm sorry, Serene, hold on. We have Adrienne Moss. She's the mom of author Top Notch. She wanted to speak, so hold on. Stand by, and I'm going to let her in. Let's welcome Adrienne Mars. She's authored Top Notch. Top Notch is the author under Blue Note. And this is his mom representing him. Hold on. Is this working? Hold on. I think she's in. Anyway, hold on. Hello, Adrian.
Hi.
Hey.
Can you all hear me?
I saw the number, you know, listening, but if you want to chat, you got to press 1, and the person didn't press 1, so I just thought the person was listening, but I didn't know that was you. So I was like, I think we drove that person away, and there was another caller, so if we got a little too raw, I apologize.
I don't know. I listened for a while, then it's like, okay, I'm gone.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay.
Right. Okay, well you know I had to...
Mona, Elijah. I think Elijah's still on the line, and I'm Serena Reed.
Yep.
Yep,
okay.
I'm here.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Serene?
No, I've seen the names. You know, I see the names as they pop up, you know.
She's an author. She also makes, you know, our flyers, the pretty cool flyers that she makes. And she's also an author under Blue Notes Publications. So, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, So I know that I had just scheduled to appear on a show, so I know eventually we're going to reschedule you. So you represent author, you know, Top Notch, who's, incarcerated, you know, so he's not able to get on Facebook. So I know you're like, you know, you represent him, so... we're going to, schedule, your interview with you so we could, like, you know, chat about him. But, you know, we're getting ready for 2 and part 3 to his re-release for his trilogy, Blinded by the Fame and Blinded by the Game. And then we're getting ready for his brand new release, Surviving the Game. So I'm excited about that. And he's also in the country. Well, Blinded by the Lights is awesome. So I think you read that, right, Serene?
Yes, I did. I read that one, and I think it's amazing.
Well, what did you say, Adrian?
What did you say?
No, I was asking her, what did she say? You said, so did she read it?
No.
She said something.
She said she read it, yes. She said it was awesome, excellent.
Oh, okay.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
No, she
y'all have to play catch up with him.
Right. No,
I don't have direct connection with him or anything like that. However, I am connected with Blue Note Publications, And from hearing, you know, now I'm pretty sure that I'm going to come across some of his books. But from what I have come across, what I have read, he does have a great writing style, and I definitely think that he's an amazing author. He definitely deserves for people to be able to, you know, see him on a different scale. But, yeah, I haven't read all of his books, but what I have read from him is definitely some good stuff. He definitely knows how to write. I can say that as an editor because I am an editor. But as an editor and reading his stuff, I can say that he does have some good writing techniques.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. Thank God. I'll relay that to him.
Right.
Yeah, we were so Serene was helping me, you know, look over his In the Trenches story before I had sent it out to editing, and he you know, I'm excited, you know, because he really, you know, he understood the assignment. So I can't wait. He really did a real good job.
I read some of his stuff, and I seen that he, like, okay, he got the assignment right. So, like, some of what I read, I was just like, okay. So I'm, like, looking forward to reading it. I've already told you I'm an editor, and I've personally requested, like, can I please edit his? Because I want to, like, read his stuff just because I want to read it. So I want to be nosy. So, but that's not, like, I will definitely still do a great job at editing. But his story, from what I've read of it, it's really good. And I've gotten, like, the middle of it. So my thoughts are like, oh, like, let's get from the beginning. Let's see what we got. Because it sounds like a good story. It sounds like it's really great.
He did an excellent job capturing. So the In the Trenches project is where each author is basically representing the their hometown, you know, representing the hood. So In the Trenches, you know, and then we were talking earlier about exactly what was the definition of the meaning of In the Trenches. So In the Trenches represent the hood that you're from. So each author is captured
to know that they only have to explain it to me. They didn't have to explain it to nobody else. I'm the only person they had to explain it was.
Damien did I call people by their real name. So off the top notch, AKA Damien. So he's representing Chicago, Illinois. And he did a good, so far what I read, I didn't read the whole thing yet, but so far what I read, he's capturing the essence of the In the Trenches in Chicago. So I'm really excited about that. You know, Chicago, Illinois, there's quite a few authors that are from Chicago. So I know I'm really excited. And authors love reading. They love seeing books about their hometown. They'll one click it just as fast as the readers are.
My dad is from Chicago, and my dad wants to read this story. He's just like, yo, like, oh, he got some In the Trenches. When I thought, I was like, it's In the Trenches in Chicago, boo. He was just like, oh, wait a minute. You got to send me that story. Like, I want to know. Because he's like, I want to know if he really get it right. And my dad is from Chicago. And so my dad
I'm going to send you the story.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know my dad for a long time. So I didn't meet my dad until I was an adult. So I don't know, like all I
know
is Chicago. I don't know where to ask him where he's from or nothing like that. I know he's from Chicago. That's all I know. But I don't know, like, what part or what borough or anything like that. But I know he's from Chicago. And all my aunties and my grandmother on his side, they're from there. So I like that you asked me when you said, what part is he from? That's a question that I'm going to be able to go ask them. Like, well, what part was Chicago y'all from. Yeah. I didn't even know I needed to ask them that. You know what I mean? I just know that they're from Chicago.
If you read Damien's work, like his trilogy, the Blinded by the Lights trilogy, and even the Surviving the Game, he writes about home. He writes near North Side of Chicago.
I see that.
Where Cabrini Green was.
I see that. When I described his story to my dad was super intrigued. He was just like, well, I'm from Chicago, so I want to know where he's writing about. Like, he want to read his story. Okay. So he could, like, be like, because my dad's an author, too. My dad writes books. So my dad, he's from Chicago. So he wants to be like, well, I want to read it because I want to make sure he's painting Chicago in the right light. Like, do you know where you at?
Well,
up on the stories, he's about to order them, and I'm already as soon as his stories become paperback issue, we're definitely going to be ordering them. But my dad wants to know because he's intrigued by his name. And then the fact that he's from Chicago, my dad's intrigued. So he wants to read the story. So he's like, you know, send me the story.
Well, tell him, when Blind by the Game comes out, he definitely needs to read that book.
I know now from talking to you that I need to be like, well, what part of Chicago are y'all from? Because, I just met them. So I don't know to ask what part of Chicago. I just know that they say they're from Chicago. That's all I know. So now I'm about to start asking questions. We're going to find out. But I know that they came from some places because of the stories that they be telling me. So I cannot wait to read top-notch books.
Well, tell them to wait for Blinded by the Game is really special. He needs to read that one.
He wants to start from the beginning, though. He don't want to just Blinded by the Game, because I told him about those. So he's going to read part one, and he's going to go through part two.
I'll give some paperback copies, because does he read Kindle, or does he prefer paperback?
He prefers paperback.
Okay, then I'll.
He can access Kindle, but my dad works a lot. He does a lot of stuff for work. So, like, getting on his phone, when he get on his phone, the last thing he's going to do is read a book. He's about to do some editing. My dad's a photographer, so he's going to look at pictures and stuff like that, and he's going to do stuff like that. But if he has a book, then when he's, like, traveling and stuff, then he'll be able to use the book to read. So those books are already ones that he wants. So once those paperbacks are available, my dad already wants them. He was like, yeah, send me all three of them. And I have to pay for them, because he's not offering to pay for them. He's just like, yeah, okay, he's from Chicago? Oh, send me all of them. I said, you want me to send them to you? He was like, yeah, this is like 3 years of no Father's Day gifts. And I was like, really? So I got to send him these books as his Father's Day gift. But he wants
them.
Okay,
cool. Well, part two and part three, we're trying to release them this week, and then I'm going to set up the paperback right away. The paperback for Blinded by the Light, I called Amazon a few times. I don't know why the link is not showing up on the page, but I could get you a copy at the author's rate. Anyway. Huh?
Okay.
The first one's available,
the paperback,
right?
Well, the first one is available on Kindle and paperback, but the paperback link is still not appearing on the Amazon's page. But I'm able to access it from my account, so I could get paperback. So I send,
my
I have to check the delivery date.
He's listening to Blog Talk right now, but he's not going to press 1, and he's not going to let you know what number he's calling in on.
Well, shout out to Adrian and everybody who did call in. Once you hit 9 o'clock, callers no longer are not able to, you know, call in any longer once it's after 9 p.m. If you're already in, then you're on the end.
He says he's on there right now. He's sitting here literally texting me the stuff that y'all saying.
Okay,
my dad
okay.
is really listening right now, but he's like, he can't call in, but he was trying to call in.
He was trying to call in? Okay. Well,
yeah,
let him know, like, next time from, so he has some stuff. Yeah, from 7, he has from 7 to 9 to call in. Once after 9 o'clock, you can't
Hold
call
on,
in.
Girl, you see what I'm saying? He's been listening since we was talking about Tupac and Biggie. Stop playing.
Binda, what's that? Because like I said, I told you I saw another phone number besides Adrian. That person was listening
yeah.
for a while.
He's been
so.
Listening for a minute. He said he called in since we've been talking about Tupac and Biggie. And then now we're talking about top-notch books, and he keeps sending messages like, yeah, I want all three of his books. I want all his books. I want all his books. I'm like, okay, Dad. And I'm wondering, like, why are you sending these messages? He's like, because I'm listening to the podcast. And I didn't even know I
Wait, what's
your
father's phone number?
So.
What's your father's phone number?
Girl, no.
He's from Chicago, right? Adrian, do you live in Chicago?
No, I'm in Texas.
Oh, you're in Texas. Okay, so 773 is a... No, because what
that's
happened
a,
was...
Chicago I still have my Chicago number.
In Virginia, and he said his number is private.
Okay, no, I didn't see no private call. I saw... another number with a 773 area code that was listening for a while.
He just sit here. Hold on. He just sent me the whole voicemail of what you just said. So my dad is listening. Yep.
Okay. Well,
so
thank you, Dad.
You're able to get anonymous calls and you don't know who's calling, but he literally just sent me what you just said right now.
Okay. Well, if you're chatting with him, just ask him what side of Chicago was he from.
Okay, let me ask him. Hold on. Right. Because he just sent it to me. He better not get silent. That's going to make me feel like he's lying. But let's keep going. Hold on, because I gotta send him a text message.
Okay, so while we're listening
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say while we waiting for your father's response, so I had a few literary topics to cover tonight, but we navigated towards rap, talking about Tupac and Biggie.
Oh, let's not do it. Is Elijah still on the phone? Is Elijah gone? Because if Elijah's gone,
no,
I don't want to have this conversation anymore.
Well, Elijah's call actually dropped, so I don't know if he hung up or he just...
you said he was drunk?
Was disconnected. Yeah, his call
drunk?
Dropped.
Intoxicated?
Yeah,
oh, you said
no,
it dropped.
I said it dropped. His call dropped.
Oh, I thought you said he was drunk. I was like, girl, you just sell a drug to me?
Oh, my God. Okay.
I really thought you said he called drunk. I was like, drunk? He didn't sound drunk at all. But you said dropped.
No,
okay.
I said his call dropped. But thank you so much, Adrian. Thank you so much.
Yes,
we appreciate
Mama.
You.
Hold on, Mama. Let's give us another bust down. Go in there and shout out.
So did you have anything?
Let's give us the rundown.
Okay, so did you? So I wanted to cover, announcements, you know, for Blue Notes, you know, and some stuff that was happening in the literary industry, but I'll save that for Saturday. But I will cover, the announcement for Blue Notes. So Blue Notes Publications, it's my publishing company along with author Jabril Williams. Shout out to Jabril Williams. So Jabril Williams will be setting up within the next, I can't say exactly, when, but it will be very, very soon that, you know, going to try to set up a Zoom meeting, you know, where he'll be introducing himself, you know, to all the authors. So unfortunately, some of our authors are incarcerated, so they won't be able to make a formal introduction with him or participate in the Zoom meeting. But, you know, I'm really excited about that. So look for that. I'll give more information on that, more detail as the time, you know, nears. But Author Jabril Williams will be, having a Zoom intro pretty soon. Also, shout out to Author Jabril Williams. So we have an anthology that had came out this month along. So it's featuring me, myself, along with Jabril Williams, along with Serena Ree. Yay!
Yes,
and Author Shania. Also, Author Shania Nicole is another author under Blue Notes Publications. So shout out to Shania. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Shania. She got a little bundle of joy coming soon. She's about, I believe, 8 months pregnant. She's expecting.
Oh, congratulations.
So, yes, yes, yes. So shout out to Shania. So we have upcoming debuts from Monica Hubbard. Amazon just did the BS. So they've been like holding her book hostage, but I did receive an email between, tomorrow and Saturday. Her book will be available. So look forward to Ride the Train of Love, debut released by a new author, Monica Hubbard, under Blue Notes Publications. So look forward to that. Please show your support and, befriend her, send her a friend request. On Facebook, Monica Hubbard. So So his real name is Bogard. I don't wanna say his full government name. I don't know if I should, but his name is Bogard, but his author name is B.L. Mastiff, and he's also an incarcerated author. Shout out to Bogard. He's incarcerated in Coleman Federal, prison, and he is making his debut in August. His book Raven and Crow is excellent. He's a street lit author, and he was recruited by Jabril Williams. So I'm very excited about that. I read his book. Looked over it before I sent it to editor, and I'm reading it back, and it's like, hoo-wee, got me all into street lit again. So he really took it there. So I'm very excited about that. His cover reveal will be coming sometime next week. So let's look forward to author B.L. Mastiff's debut. Author Top Notch, his trilogy, so Blinded by the Lights, is now available on Kindle and paperback. I'm working on getting the link for the paperback to show on Amazon, but his paperbacks are available. If anybody needs paperback, they can, contact me, inbox me, or send me an email, bluenotes2022@yahoo.com. until the link, appears on the page. His part 2, 3, Blinded by the Fame and Blinded by the Game, will be available real, real, real soon. So I'm hoping to upload it this week. And then coming in August will be his brand new release, Surviving the Game. So I'm excited about that. And his In the Trenches story, In the Trenches of Chicago, Illinois. His pen game is official. So I need for everybody to make sure you one-click Top Notch. Blue Nose Publications website will be coming soon. It's actually ready, but I have some pictures that I need to upload, so I'm trying to gather up all the authors' pictures. I really was, aiming for a real professional, classy, sexy look that I wanted to represent Blue Notes. And I know the designer, I worked her nerves like something serious. We've been working on this website for at least 3 months, but I really like it. I kept changing my mind a lot, but I really like it. And so now we just need to add some pictures we need to add the author's pictures, and I'm supposed to be taking my photo shoot. So once the pictures are uploaded, then we're going to officially launch Blue Nose Publications website. So I'm excited about that. So for my podcast starting in August, if a reader wants to ask questions for the featured guest author and you're shy or you just don't feel like talking, I'm going to set it up where you could send your questions to the Blue Notes Publications email. Send me your question, and I will read your question, you know, out loud over here on the podcast, you know, to the author. And we will be, you know, having a thing set up on our website where you could send your questions to the website. So we got some pretty, you know, cool things happening with the website, so I'm really excited about it. Also, I just did finalize a deal where it's a Black-owned bookstore. Shout out to Source of Knowledge Bookstore, based in Newark, New Jersey. It's a Black-owned bookstore, but she's legendary. Author Quan, author T. Styles, shout out to Alpha D. Banks, you know, Raquel Williams. They all, you know, have their books carried in that store. Quan did a book signing there a few weeks ago. So she caters to urban fiction authors. It's an absolute honor to have your books. If you're an urban fiction author, if you're a street lit author, you're an African American author, you know, no disrespect to Barnes & Noble, but they don't really love urban fiction authors like that. So to have a bookstore like Source of Knowledge, who really cater to us, it's an honor. So I'm happy to say that my books are officially launching in her bookstore along with Jabril Williams. So I'm excited about that. And she will also be carrying all Blue Notes authors' books. So I'm setting up, I have to get the contracts in place and get the contracts to authors. So I'm setting it up one by one for each author. So, but it will be coming soon. So once I do get each contract from her, you know, for each author, I will, you know, send the contracts out to the authors, and then we'll get that set up. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. So,
yeah, that's something we wanted, you know, ever since he started writing, is to get his books not just on Amazon, because a lot of people don't like to go online, putting their card in and waiting for it to come in the mail. And they would prefer going to a bookstore. And
that was our goal,
trying to get it in a bookstore, you know, get his books in a bookstore, not just on Amazon.
And this is what I've been trying to do for a long time now, to navigate a way. I mean, no disrespect to social media. Social media has been good to me, okay, and has been good to a lot of authors. But I just love the old school way to just. I used to hang out in Barnes & Noble years ago, and used to spend a whole day in Barnes & Noble reading and chilling, drinking my little mocha, whatever. They had like a little bar section, you know, where they have culotta and stuff like that. And I really miss those good old days. You know, everybody, like, the digital social media has really poisoned, like, these new age authors and children. They don't understand the beauty of going to chill at a bookstore and just chilling. It just feels like, you know, it's just so, you know, it's so relaxing. So you've got a lot of authors who go and to Starbucks, and they're writing in Starbucks and stuff. So when you go to a bookstore and you could chill and relax, it feels really good. It feels really good. So I really want to normalize that again. So I actually have a business venture, you know, I'll just say this, that it's similar to something like Starbucks, but it's a Black-owned business. It's going to be owned by me and my business partner, once again, Jabril Williams. You know, it's going to be something like a cafe that's going to cater to authors, you know, where you could go in, you could write. We're going to have Kindles around it. I don't want to, you know, people steal ideas in this business, so I don't know if nobody stole my idea, but there's going to be Kindles.
surrounding the whole, you know, the whole cafe where authors could come in and write on the Kindle. I'm going to have a laptop. It's going to be a place where authors could come in. You could write. You could relax. You could meet with the readers. You could do book signing, larger releases. It's going to be a cafe and a food lounge. So I'm like, and then it's going to be books, you know. It's like a mini bookstore. So I'm really, really, really excited. Don't look for it anytime soon, though. the business proposal is still being, you know, but that's my vision, you know, and that's mm-hmm. always been my vision. Like, everything I've been in the business for 8 years. I've been an author, you know, for 8 years. Then I've published before, and, you know, I've been promoting for 2.5 years now. But, you know, it's all leading up to what, like, my main goal has always been. I've always wanted, like, a bookstore type, you know, like a bookstore / cafe has always been, like, my dream. So it's all leading up to this. So I'm really excited.
Yeah. Just keep going for it. You'll get it. You'll get it.
Yeah. I gotta find the capital, but I'm gonna get it. I'm a, when it comes to starting a business, you want to put a excellent proposal together. So I found somebody on Facebook that write business proposals for $20, and actually he's been waiting on me to put the details together so he could start working on a proposal. I can't remember his name, but as soon as I go in the inbox and locate, you know, because he's waiting on me, but I forgot his name because I haven't spoken to him in like a month and a half. But I found him in this group called Black Network. It's a group called Black Network, and people, all kind of people posting there looking for ghostwriters, looking for publishers, looking for writers. You know, people are networking in there. So that's how I come across these people. So if you got a YouTube page and you want to, you know, dress up your YouTube page, there's people in there that'll do it for only $20-$25. So I found this kid who do business proposals for only $20. Praise the Lord. So I'm just getting my little notes together. That's gonna be the best. That's gonna be the best $20 I ever spent. So yeah, I said, no, you don't do a business proposal for $20. And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm in college. And then I didn't even ask to see his proposal. He said he's a business major, so I just assume he knows what he's doing. So I'm gonna go ahead and pay him the $20 and see what he comes up with. But he seems to, you know, be knowledgeable. So. Looking forward to that. We also have Jabril Williams and I also have a collaboration. We have some news. The release of that book is not going to be a regular release. So, but I'm not going to announce that yet because we need to reveal the cover. The book is going to be a two-part series. Part one is just about done. It'll be going to editing next week. But I need to reveal the book cover first. But the release for that will not be a regular release. It's going to be a release where, you know, it'll be launched in the bookstore. So it's a knowledge bookstore, and it'll be like a live grand event. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll give more details in the next few weeks or so, but it'll be a September release. So it'll be a collaboration with me and Jabril Williams. So I'm excited about that. And last but not least, Monica Hubbard, her book is being released this week, but she also has a shout out to Monica. She's very motivated. She done gave me her part two. It's not a part two, actually. Because her book is a standalone. She gave me her second book since like a month to, you know, she turned in a second book right after she had gave me her first book. So her book, her second book is now in editing, but she will be holding a book release party for her very first book period in October. We will have more details coming soon. October is also her birth month,
her birthday is October 4th. And also shout out to Jabril Williams. Her and Jabril actually have the same birthday. So she wants to, we have details coming soon, but it's going to be a book release event in Little Rock, Arkansas, you know, where she resides. That's her hometown. And she's going to be having a book release in her sister. Her sister owns a daiquiri bar in Little Rock. So we have those coming up. So I'll be in, you know, heading out to Arkansas to host the event with her. So I'm excited about that. We're going to be in Little Rock in October. So,
okay. Yeah, it's also so Todd Lynch's birthday.
Oh, he's a Libra too?
No, he's a Scorpio.
Oh, God.
His birthday is the 25th.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah,
I don't know much 26. About them October Scorpios. I know the November ones. The November Scorpios, the men and the women are like, But, you know, I have a daughter who's a Scorpio. My mom, may she rest in peace, was a Scorpio. I dated a Scorpio. Yeah, they're like a different breed. So, anyway.
See, my whole family was Scorpios. Everybody was 2 weeks apart. And Damien, then my husband was 2 weeks after him, and my daughter 2 weeks after him. Everybody
oh, God.
Was 2 weeks apart.
Oh, wow. Oh, no. Well, now that I think about it, Top Notch do, you know, he do got like, you know, he's very like, you know, motivated and very strong will. So, yeah, he do fit the little characteristic of being a Scorpio. So shout out to Top Notch. Okay, so Serene's call dropped as well. So, I don't know if she hung up. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Thank you so much. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
Adrian? Oh,
yes.
No, I'm just peeking in, seeing what, you know, you all were talking about, and if you had any information I was to relay back to him. Because I probably type, you know, send him a text later on when I get off the phone. And,
right.
And we're working on that cover hopefully tomorrow. She said tomorrow. I told her, you know, she sent me one. We really don't like it too much. I like the color of it. So she's going to do another one tomorrow. And I gave her explicit details on what he's looking for. So hopefully tomorrow I'll have something for you.
Okay, well,
I have to show you what she sent me, but both me and him, I'm like, I'm back to the drawing board.
Okay, I'd love to see the first one. You know, I don't mind seeing it. You can show it to me. Well, he don't want me to see it until I see the second.
No, I wanted to have at least two or three to give to show him so he can pick and choose. You know, he can have more than just the one to pick from. And he's going to do some more tomorrow. But he knows what he's doing. Because, you know, it's not going to be too much different from the original second cover. That's the premise. That's what he wants. So, you know.
Right.
And he's the type of person that's going to study until he gets what he, you know, what he wants. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's your work. You know?
Oh, no, not at all. All right. Okay, well, I'll wait until you send me, you know, both tomorrow. And then whatever he decides, call me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he knows time is of the essence, so he's pretty much putting it in my hands. Like, you know what I want? You know, just send it to him. And it's good to you,
right.
So I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Once again, everybody could log on to Amazon and check out Blinded by the Lights by author Top Notch, and the part two and part three to the trilogy will be available hopefully by the weekend. So thank you so much, everybody that did tune in. The link, I will post a link, you know, for tonight's show. This is an interesting show. We done got off subject. We talked about Tupac and Biggie, but it was still entertaining. So shout out to Serena Lee and Elijah Foreman. Their calls dropped. I don't know if they hung up or what, but thank you, Adrian, for coming in and chatting with me. I appreciate it. All right. Okay, so we're about to sign off. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night. Literary Talk to Mona on Drip the Mic Network. Until next time.
Okay, good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night. All righty.
Hey, Jim. Don't it seem like I'm always there when it matters, but missing most of the other time, a terrible pattern. The rewards I see from working have made me an addict. There's way more people that want it than people that have it. I don't get it, I would hate to think I tricked them. They fall victim to my system, guess I sure know how to pick them. And I'm always to regret, yeah, I'm always to regret. And I always make it harder on whoever's coming next. It goes up and down, it's just up and down. She's crying now, but she'll laugh again, cause we on the rise and she here with us. And expensive shit just keeps happening and she loves it. She stares at me like, who does this? And we hold hands while I pray that she's not the type to hold grudges. I'm wrong.
Bad boys ain't no good. Good boys ain't no fun.
And I feel like I should end up paying.
Lord knows that I should. Run off with the right one.
You know your podcast.
Wait, Ashanti. 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 Thank you.